So you may have noticed we have about a dozen or so young men and women here with these beautiful dresses on and these wonderful suits. They're here today to get married. They didn't tell you? So then why are you here today? Why are you guys all dressed like that? What's going to happen today? Yes, ma'am. Your first communion. What does that mean? What are you going to get? What are you going to receive at your first communion? Lots of envelopes with money after church. But before that, what are you going to get right here in a few minutes? And how is Jesus going to come to you? The body and blood, and that's going to come to you through what form? What's Father Corwin going to hand you and you're going to put in your mouth? Bread and wine, good for you. A plus, all right? So we're here for you guys to receive Jesus in a very, very unique way. Now you might think, bread and wine, why? Why bread and wine? So in order to answer that, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. We got to go to the very first book of the Bible. Any of you young ones know what the very first book of the Bible is? Well, how about in a second, you can be my ringer. Yes, ma'am. Genesis. All right, you know that one? All right, you get some points too. The book of Genesis. We go all the way back. Genesis was written thousands of years ago, about the time your parents were born. That's how old it is. A long, long time ago. So when we go all the way back, we're going to go to Genesis 14. And in Genesis 14, we're going to read about a guy named Abram. He hasn't become famous yet, so he's not Abraham yet. He's still Abram at this point. And what happened was his nephew got taken captive. So he had to go and get him. So he went and he fought and he got him back. And he was so happy when he got him back, they were going to offer a sacrifice to God to say thank you. Well, this guy named Melchizedek shows up and upstages Abram and says, I'll take care of this. And the scriptures tell us that Melchizedek, being a priest of the Most High God, offers bread and wine to God. Now, when you think of bread and wine, what are you thinking about? Your first communion, right? So if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 14, we see this beginning that's going to begin today here in Benicia, California. Now, there's some other steps along the way where we see bread plays this incredible role in our relationship with God, helps us to understand how God is alive in our lives. So next, we're going to go to Egypt. Any of you guys ever been to Egypt before? I don't recommend you going there these days either, so just stay here in Benicia, okay? So we got to go to Egypt. And in Egypt, the Israelites were being held captive. And who does God send into Egypt to bring out the Israelites? Do you remember someone was asked to go into Egypt? His name begins with an M. Moses. So Moses goes down into Egypt and he says to Pharaoh like this, let my people go. And what does Pharaoh say? No. He says no. So God sends how many plagues? How many plagues does God send to, I know you know these answers there, young man, but I want to get these guys first. You're my ringer. If I get stuck, I'll come to you. How many plagues does God send upon Pharaoh so that the Egyptians can be freed? 3, 7, or 10? Yes, ma'am. 7? No, you said 7? Well, there's 7 dwarfs, okay? So you get that right. 10, right? There are 10 plagues. So 10 plagues come down. And the 10th plague has bread as part of it. They have to eat the Passover meal. And in the Passover meal, they eat unleavened bread. So bread that hasn't risen. Kind of like what we're going to have here, right? And this bread will become a symbol of freedom, of us being liberated from slavery, our ancestors anyway, in Egypt. So it's a freedom from physical slavery. So we're going to leave Egypt, and where do the Israelites want to go? Where are they trying to get to? They leave Egypt, they're going to walk in the desert for 40 years. Where are they trying to get to? Benicia, right? The promised land, right? Benicia, right? So they got to walk for 40 years through the desert and across an ocean to get to Benicia, right? So as they're walking in the desert, Now imagine, I lived in Arizona for 5 years, right? And I've been in the desert, and it can get kind of nasty out there, right? There's no Burger Kings, there's no Chuck E. Cheese's, there's no Taco Bell's. So when you run out of food, you're in a lot of trouble, right? So they're walking, and all of a sudden they run out of food, and they say, hey, Moses, what's the story here? How are we going to get food? So Moses turns to God and says, hey, buddy, hook me up, right? There, people are getting mad, and I have no food. What am I supposed to do? So what does God send to the Israelites? God, there's two things that God sends through Moses. Yes. Bread and fish. Well, if it was a Friday, it would be bread and fish, right? But being that it wasn't Friday, he gave us meat, right? So we were given bread and quail. Tastes like chicken, right? So God sends down bread and quail. Now, this bread has some pretty miraculous properties to it. First of all, it shows up out of nowhere, which is kind of cool, right? Now, Moses says, now go out and every day collect this bread. And if people collect a lot of bread or a little bread, it didn't matter. Everybody had just enough bread to eat. Now, there are some people who didn't trust God, so they hid some. And they said, if God doesn't come through tomorrow, I'll have a little backup stash just in case. And the scriptures tell us when they opened that up the next day, what they weren't supposed to do, that it was wormy and disgusting. Ew, kind of like Wonder Bread, right? So what happens is then they said, don't do that anymore. Now, the same bread that came down that got wormy and disgusting, God said on the day before the Sabbath to collect a double portion so we didn't have to work on the Sabbath. And that same bread that was kept overnight the next day wasn't wormy and disgusting, but was actually quite yummy, right? Probably like a New York bagel. That's what we're thinking, right? So that's really, really good, okay? So we see this bread has miraculous properties to it. Now, as they're going through, we have the tabernacle, right? So whatever we don't consume at Mass, we repose Jesus Christ under the appearance of bread in our tabernacle. Well, their tabernacle moved. Now, how do we know the presence of it? We have that red light. You see that red light up there? If the red light is up there, that says that God is with us. So when we clean the church or there are other activities going on and we remove our Lord Jesus Christ, we remove that candle and we leave the doors open, right? Now, when they were walking in the desert, they would have this altar and they would put this type of bread on it called showbread. And that showbread said that God's presence is with us. And Moses would go and meet in that tent, which is when the Latin for tent is tabernacle, right? Tabernaculum, tabernacle, let's get that word. And he would talk to him face to face. So we see this understanding of bread. Let me give you one more Old Testament reference to bread. Then we'll jump to the New Testament, okay? Now, who's David? Cricket. Cricket. Yes. He did. He whooped Goliath, didn't he, right? Good for you. Now, he takes Goliath down, and he's sort of going up the ranks. And there's a guy named Saul who's the king. He doesn't like him. Saul wants to beat him up, right? So David's on the run with his men, and they get hungry. And they come to the local priest, and they say, hey, you know, can you help us out? We're on the run. Can you give us some food? And the priest says, the only bread I have is that show bread. That bread that's been consecrated, that's been set aside for a very holy purpose. But he says, if your men are in a state of grace, then you can have that bread. And David and his men say, we are. We are in a state of grace. We are in a holy state. And he says, okay, I will allow you to eat that special bread. And they do. Now let's jump to the New Testament. Let's go to John 6. And in there, Jesus starts to bring all the stuff I've been talking about together so we can understand why we're here today in Benicia, the promised land, right? So in John 6, what happens is Jesus says, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. He says, whoever eats this bread, I am, right, will live forever. And the people are a little bit confused about what Jesus is talking about. So he says, amen, amen, I say to you. Now, when you hear amen, amen, I say to you, think of your parents calling you using your first name in its proper form, your middle name in its proper form, and you know, you're in trouble, right? So when Jesus says, amen, amen, it's like, listen up, young man, listen up, young lady. So he's being real serious. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you do not have eternal life. We're told again the people just don't get it and they start grumbling. And a third time, he says, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And as a result of this teaching, we're told some people leave Jesus and they walk away and go back to their former way of life. So Jesus turns to Peter and the other disciples and say, do you too want to leave? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, they're probably confused at this point because they don't have all the information, but they trusted Jesus. They said, somehow we know this is going to work out okay. And we see this in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In all three of them, we have this beautiful institution narrative of the Eucharist. It's Holy Thursday. We're in the upper room, right? And Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal. But this time, we're not going to celebrate physical slavery leaving Egypt. We're going to celebrate eternal slavery, because Jesus is going to save us from our sins and open up the gates of heaven for us, right? So at this meal, Jesus takes the bread and he says, this is my body, take and eat. He takes the chalice and says, this is my blood, take and drink. So now all of a sudden, John 6 makes sense. We are able to eat the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the appearance of, as this young man told us, bread and wine. So that's why we're here today. We're here today to allow this reality that started in Genesis 14, traveled all the way through the Last Supper, and coming all the way here to the Promised Land, Benicia, California in 2017, that we are going to receive Christ. So what happens is we do have a priest of the Most High God. You have Father Corwin, you have myself, Father David, right? And when we come together and say Mass, God uses us to stand in his place. It's called in persona Christi. We stand in the place of Jesus Christ. That's the office of the priesthood. In a few minutes, Father Corwin is going to say the words of institution. He's going to call the Holy Spirit down upon the bread of wine. He'll repeat the words that Jesus said. This is my body. This is my blood. Now, this bread we're going to consume and the wine we're going to consume is not ordinary bread and wine. Miraculously, like the bread in the desert, it takes on new properties. It becomes the body, blood, and soul divinity of Jesus Christ through transubstantiation, which will be a test later. You got to spell that word, okay? So that's what happens, and we're allowed to receive that. Now, we have to be in a state of grace. A few weeks ago, you guys, I went to confession to prepare yourself, as we all should. We should all be ready to say, yes, Lord, I'm striving to do your will. I want to be holy as you do. I want you to come into me so we can have a beautiful relationship. So my young ones, in a few minutes, you are going to have Jesus Christ enter into your life in a very radical and beautiful way. It's a very special day. But every day, every time Jesus comes into our life should be special. So today is the first time that Jesus Christ will do this. We pray that every time it happens, it'll be as a wonderful occasion as it is today.